This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
G'day, this is Michael.
And this is Kerry.
We'd just like to wish the Cubby House best of luck in the future and hope all you podcast listeners are having an excellent weekend. Okay, take it easy, fellas. Catch you up.
Welcome to Sideshow 3A. Yes, that's the show where the Cubby House packages everything that we couldn't get into our last show into a second show. In this show, we have our etiquette section. We also have a bit of question about being topless in public. But first, here's a bit of feedback which we've got from our previous show. We've had a few emails, and the one that sits in my mind is actually one I saw my friend type before he sent it. And it's, do you swallow on the first date and do you ask for their name after they've swallowed? Thank you very much to you, Phil. I know how much of a tart you are.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, cheers, Phil.
As stupid and funny as it sounds to us, I suppose for some people that was the going thing, so...
I'm going to have to assume that you kind of, if you're planning on meeting up with someone to blow them, you're going to know what their name is, especially if it is a quote-unquote date. If it's just, you know, a random hookup, then you don't care what their name is. You don't care what they look like. You just want to shag. So in that sense, as far as the name goes, if it's a date... yes, I think you should probably know beforehand. If it's not a date, then who cares?
Okay.
As far as swallowing goes, well...
Personal preference, but probably not advisable if you don't know their status of
health. That's correct. It is still possible to become HIV positive through ingesting of bodily fluids.
Yeah, but it's so unlikely that it's not really worthwhile.
But the fact of the matter is that the chances are still there. Yeah, and I've never known somebody to give another guy head... while they're wearing a condom, even a flavoured condom at that. I've never heard of that before. So I am imagining that swallowing is pretty much...
it's a 1 in 30,000 chance, as long as you don't have any cuts inside your mouth.
But then again, it's still a chance.
Well, I think throughout the entire world, there's only been one reported case of a person getting HIV from actually ingesting or through the transfer of bodily fluids through the mouth. But that's not the point.
Are we arguing for safe sex or unsafe sex here, Jack?
No, I'm arguing for being realistic. So
you're saying that because there is this slight
there is a risk, but keep it in proportion. Just
so
because
you're saying if you have cuts in your mouth, you should probably not be giving head if you don't know their status.
There are probably better reasons not to swallow than a person's HIV status. That's what my major thing is.
Because they might have eaten like pineapple and it might taste like pineapple and you don't like pineapple, like that, for example, or
if that's a problem that you have, then then that's probably the best course of action to take.
Right.
But if that is the case, then you probably, before doing anything, should ask, hey, is there anything you want to tell me? Hey, have you eaten pineapple in the past 24 hours?
Maybe just people should put that on their profiles.
Just to let you in on a similar thing. Whenever I eat chicken, it smells like KFC down there, so that's bad.
Are you talking about yourself personally?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
That's kind of freaking me out now. I'm never going to look at KFC the same way, especially coleslaw.
So anyway, if it's the kind of date as in, hey sailor, looking for a date, then probably it's
what was that?
It's a prostitute that has like 6 packs a day, okay?
Yes, how very drag queen of you.
You probably would be able to get away with it. But it depends on your expectations of that date. As with most other situations like that, just play it by ear. If you go into a formal restaurant and...
wait until you leave the dinner table before...
well...
or if that is your fetish, you know, public sex.
I suppose there's 2 different levels of that. If you've gone to a fancy restaurant, then the other person has to pay for it somehow.
You can split bills.
Or you could just have the kiss on the cheek at the door. So, again, it's a context-appropriate situation.
I think this is probably another discussion about what actually is a date. How do we define what a date is? Awesome. So, Cookie, we've had feedback from one person. Thank you very much.
Another person is our lovely essay writer, Paul, from UK.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hello.
We love the effort that you go to. Thank you. I probably don't write that much for uni. That's you writing for your essays for the show.
You're almost like the fourth member of the Cubby House, Paul.
The unspoken.
That's right.
Yes. Who, on our last etiquette topic, which we shall move into shortly, is based on bottoms. We were talking about bottoms and how we almost describe them as dead starfish or, as Paul puts it, the closest legal thing to necrophilia.
Ouch.
What a colourful analogy.
I know. Now, we do like to include everybody, and although I was probably in a state where I was just that exhausted, I probably would have been a starfish had somebody done me that night. There are those that are power bottoms, aggressive bottoms, active bottoms, call it what you will, those who take control and take the lead in what should be a two-way situation, not just a one-way situation.
I think it probably depends on what your expectations are with a sexual partner. If, for example, if you're into bondage, then obviously maybe verbal-wise,
yes,
a power bottom would be good. But as far as, you know, them taking the role and the situation and everything, then that's probably not an ideal match.
It's almost oxymoronic.
Exactly.
Hmm.
But I think there are guys that just, they want to take control of the situation. I mean, I know tops, for example, that like to be tied up and ridden. So that probably, I guess, would make them a submissive top.
Yes.
So, I mean, it really depends on, what, like I said, your expectations or what you are hunting for in sex.
Hmm.
I totally agree. Starfish are, for me personally, not a quality that I look for online. You know, do a search, you know, for code word starfish.
Yes.
Maybe chocolate starfish, but that's an entirely different conversation.
And last of all, we have our friend Matthias sending us in the following message into the program, onto the Skype line.
Hey guys, Matthias here. Just a quick question. Is it possible to be straight and a bear at the same time? It just sounds tempting as a lifestyle, you know, to be as nature intended.
Now, Matthias has sent in that message, sent us a phone call on the Skype line. That's 9005PLAY if you're living in Melbourne. Or if you live anywhere else, don't use the extra expense. Use the Skype.
I agree. It helped me when I was over in New Zealand. It was cheap to call Australia home.
Yes. And sing badly.
I know. Intended. can a straight guy be a bear?
First of all, I'd like to say that is being a bear really as nature intended?
Well, I guess as far as not shaving, perhaps, as way nature intended. But I think that going back to when we had Russell in, he described as what, you know, we asked him what actually makes a bear, and he just said, it's about an attitude. It's not about a look. And I totally think that there are, you know, heterosexual men out there that are bears, that it is about an attitude, or, well, even a look as well. You know, they've got that whole sort of lumberjack look about them. It's just that they're sort of missing the whole homosexuality thing about them.
And I think that's where being a bear is where it then becomes grey. Not so much about identifying as a bear, but labelling yourself as a bear and how others perceive that.
What's the difference between the two?
Well, the difference I would find is if you call yourself a bear originated as part of a gay subculture identity to identify with guys that weren't necessarily feminine or otherwise. It is exactly that. It's the attitude of being a down-to-earth guy, bit of a lumberjack build, as a lot of guys have kind of built on that. It's more about the unshaven or the big, bulky, the hairy. And it's just a general identity. And because we've now got communities based on that identity, to call yourself a bear would put yourself in that category so people could mistake you for also being homosexual if you are actually heterosexual.
So, Matthias, if you're going to counter any of the bear events, expect a couple of faux pas, a couple of
woofs and a few gropes and things like that, which we have grown accustomed to.
A couple of misunderstandings that might have hilarious consequences or or tragic ramifications, depending. Identity is a bit of a two-way street, that you can identify yourself, but also identity comes from what is put on you. So it's that negotiation between the two. So you can have that particular part of identifying yourself, but as far as the second part, I'm not quite too sure.
So by all means, if you want to label yourself a bear, just be prepared for the other consequences as well.
Well, you make it sound so hard and harsh.
No, but I mean, like, it's, for
truth,
example...
Truth hurts, darling.
Well, that's true. I mean, if we went to a straight bar, you know, we take the chance that a woman might hit on us. It's the same thing if a man walks into a gay bar. It's exactly the same situation. It's not harsh, it's just reality.
I've heard about all the problems about straight people coming into gay venues, and people are like, oh my goodness, there goes the neighbourhood. Wah!
I hope they're not like that. Otherwise, yeah, don't come back.
Apparently, at least in some gay venues where you've got the fag hags coming along, you get the straight men that are coming along for the fag hags, and it all becomes one giant mess because you've got the men coming after the women who want to be with the gay men, and you've got the gay men that are hitting on the straight men because it's a gay venue. It's one of those assumptions, and trouble arising from that. So, Matthias, if you are planning on coming in, don't start any fights. That's not the way. We settle our things with words or kisses and hugs.
Or events in the back room.
Because we're care bears.
Or witty quips.
You're right. It's so much better to psychologically destroy someone than it is to just leave a black eye.
I think so too.
Thank you, Matthias, for that message. That is the Skype line 9005 play.
So when can you get semi-naked in public? As a bear... In the physical sense of the term, it isn't always acceptable from a general public opinion, I suppose you could say, for us to go topless down the street like a lot of young twinks that have got a nice flat stomach or solid build. It's just something that is normally shunned upon, in my opinion, and it's brought up the question every time I want to walk out of the house topless, when is it appropriate to do it in public?
Well, evidently not weddings and funerals.
Unless you're going to a topless wedding or funeral,
I guess. Or even a nude wedding or funeral.
Well, that's true. A nude funeral would kind of freak me out. Nude wedding, I can understand, because there are naturists out there.
Imagine where you'd put the ring. What type of ring would you use?
You're bordering on flaggable right now.
That's right.
For me, it's when you're hot. I remember when I went to Coffs Harbour, and we went there during the rainy season where it was, you know, 30 plus degrees. Humidity was nearly 100%. You know, once you stepped out of the shower and you dried off, you needed another shower because you were that sweaty. For me, I went topless in public purely for the fact that I couldn't wear clothes. It was so uncomfortable. They were lucky that they should be thanking me for wearing shorts, not cursing me for not wearing a shirt. I think that
who are these people? I want their numbers uncursed.
Yeah, damn you, Coffs Harbour. I think that it really depends on yourself. Not that, you know, if you think, who cares what I look like, I'm going to go topless, then go you, I say. We're, you know, the weather's starting to get warmer. We're naturally sweaty creatures or get up to sweaty activities. So it's only needless to say. And I mean, we like facial hair, we like body hair. So to see a nice furry chest, you're not really looking at, you know, if they have stretch marks or pimples or, you know, all those little things that we have. It's just about comfort.
I think that if you're comfortable in your own skin, other people would pick up on that. So it's like, oh yeah, he's topless.
So how would you go about if, all right, I'm not so much of a flat chest person. My stomach has a little bit of overhang over the belt. And I walk in topless to, say, Coles, and I get somebody coming up to me and saying, why don't you put a shirt on?
Why don't you go yourself?
Without being so crude, what other responses would you have to that? Because to me, it is, okay, yes, I'm a part naturalist, so I could take it that respect, but it's also illegal to be nude in public, apart from designated spots. How do you go about approaching that situation politely?
If somebody came up and said to you, why don't you put a shirt on?
Have you gone outside recently? That's if it's a hot day.
If it's a hot day, what about if it's in the middle of summer, oh sorry, middle of winter, and you still go in topless just because you feel comfortable doing so?
I think it's an honest question that one would ask. Why are you wearing no shirt if it's like snowing outside?
I mean, this is Melbourne. Where's the snide?
It's not necessarily a snide remark if it's an honest curiosity.
Curiosity, fine, yes. But what about if it is snide? What would you say?
Well, I'm sorry, but my typical knee-jerk reaction would be to tell them exactly where to go. If I was in Coles and it was hot, and I don't know, say for example, if I've been to the beach and I'm going to grab a drink or something and someone says, oi, put a shirt on. I'm sorry, but my initial knee-jerk reaction would be telling them where to go. If it was a grandmother saying, you know, you should really put a shirt on, it would be, you should really mind your own business.
You're making my child cry. Will you please put a shirt on?
Well, it's not my fault that you allowed yourself to get knocked up.
That's your excuse for everything.
Just with breeders, not exactly with gays.
All right, what about your response, Jack? What would you say?
I'd probably act rather sheepishly and turn away, go about the rest of my day.
So you, in some context, you're accepting what they're saying has fair point of merit.
I'm not a very confrontational person when it all boils down to it. I don't think that many people would ask. If they did, it's like, well, thanks for the tip. Yeah. I'm going to go over to the deli now, get myself some hot salami.
And cookie?
This is why I posed the question, because I'm still of two minds. Sure, I'd like to walk you outside with me top off. All right, yes, if it's a hot day, fine, you know, but I always think, well, they're singlets, and is it for them or is it for me that I'm going out? Am I going out to make a public eye of myself, or am I going out for my own purpose? Just because I'm too lazy to put on a singlet or something of an equivalent, something that will cover up a little bit, but not necessarily be non-breathable at the same time.
But you did say that you're a bit of a naturist as well.
In my own space and in the legal space, yes. But when I'm a naturist, I have the blinds shut to the general public, so they can't see in.
Right.
Which is where I draw the line. It's like saying to have the blinds open and to be nude becomes a public thoroughfare.
Yes.
So, which, saying that, it's illegal.
But I mean, it's still a little bit, not as much, of course, not at extreme if you're wearing shorts and you go down the street, but it is a little bit of a naturist thing, would you agree?
Yes. Coming from, as opposed to somebody who's got a slim build, you see them in the, you know, the magazines, the TV.
Well, why don't
it's a public thing that it is, that's a good body build. It's okay to be seen like that. Bears don't necessarily have that build. It's not normally seen, not advertised. And a lot of people shun it because it's not what they're used to seeing or accept.
Well, maybe us cubs and bears should unite. And we see those twinks, we'll be like, why don't you eat something when they tell us to put a shirt on? Why don't you stop shaving and stop waxing?
Well, it's my impression that the entire bear movement was reclaiming that sense of otherness in the regard of body shape. It's about being able to stand and be proud and say, this is how I am. Don't expect me to change.
And like, if you go to say things like Mardi Gras or any of those kind of events, okay, you do expect to see those sorts of body shapes and sizes. But in general, public, day-to-day, walking down the street, you normally wouldn't unless you're in your own property.
But on this subject, I think it's important to say that you should slip, slop, and slap. That means that...
All the skin, not just part of it.
So for a person like me, which is like whiter than crepe paper with the red hair, even if I wanted to go out shirtless, I wouldn't do it. Simply because I fry better than a Smith's chip. And to save yourself a lot of hassle in the future, wear yourself a long sleeve shirt whenever it's a hot day and the sun is out.
Or just don't go outless.
That's my idea. Star Trek is so much better than real life.
If the Lord did not want us to become hermits, he wouldn't have invented Facebook.
Madam, may I address you as sir? Speaking of lords, as a term of reference.
I'd recently had some feedback from Mikey in Sydney. Hello, Mikey, if you're listening.
Hello, Mikey. And Al, who's also offered to do some of our artwork. I'll be contacting you soon, Al.
We love you, Al. Mikey brought up the discussion that online he seems to be getting a lot of messages where he is called Mr. And I just wanted to bring that to you guys. Are you offended by, like, for example, customer service and retail and things like that, people are like, how are you today, sir? And I mean, this is Australia where names are pretty much, it's just there. It's not something that's used. We call each other mate and things like that. In this day and age, is it appropriate to be calling someone Mr. or something like
that? Well, I worked in high-tail retail A high-end retail.
High-tail retail. Like high five? Or?
And pretty much as I referred to everyone as sir or madame as it was appropriate. Because it was like the top end of Collins Street, I don't think it would have been quite appropriate if I were to say, can I help you today, mate?
I think there's two levels of it. There's that of professionalism, which you've just described, Jack, which you're still trying to adapt to a respectable etiquette with somebody in greeting them and trying to start a conversation with them, be it for business or for personal reasons. There is also the level of anonymity about it where you don't know the person who you're talking to all that well. You may know their first name, but you're still trying to be that polite person that comes across. And I think for a lot of Australians, that was learnt in school. You know, you referred to your teacher as Mrs. Grabapple.
It was totally in the context. I'm not cooking. I can buzz you in a minute. Shut up.
Or Mr. Cook. You know, it was always a level of respect to call somebody in reference to their Mr. or Mrs. status, or even sir or ma'am. So a lot of that comes into respect as well as politeness and anonymity. A lot of people quite happily would probably be okay for you to use their first name. But there are a few people who also have nicknames. Me, okay, Cookie is a nickname for me, but I've taken on as an identity. So anybody can call me Cookie and I'll answer. A name that I do not like people calling me is Cookie Monster, because it refers to me as somebody else. And that's something which I find is a big instant defense mechanism to a lot of people who refer to me as Cookie Monster. So not to get on somebody's defensive side, if somebody wants to call me Mr. Cook, fine, by all means, I'll happily talk to you. And I think that's more out of respect for the other person. You don't want to get on their defensive. You don't want to be coming across as a smart ass. So Mr., Mrs., Sir, Madam, outside of a obvious sexual content, which a lot of people use the term Sir, Madam, Mistress, in, Master even. To say that in a social context is trying to show signs of respect, politeness, and acknowledging a level of anonymity.
But in the case that Mikey brought to me was the fact that I don't think he really even knows these people online, and they're just calling him Mister. What would you do, Jack, if someone was said, how are you today, Mister, or something like that? Would you just totally dismiss it, or would you come up with a smart-ass response, or...
Well, that doesn't actually happen to me. What happens is that I quite often get called boy, which is something that I get a bit knocked on about. It's like, who are you to call me boy?
Stop calling him boy, Cookie. Stop sending him messages and calling him boy.
Okay, buddy. Sweet as, bro.
I mean, there are some people that I know that I wouldn't mind calling me that, but online, it's like, wow, piss off. Mm. So I'd imagine it would be the same, that you're pigeonholing a person in a way that's, well, not... You don't really necessarily know the response that you're going to get when you call a person sir or boy. So maybe there is that a bit of a presumption that if you have a certain profile or certain stats, that is what you wouldn't mind being called.
But yeah, I think as Mr. as an opening liner, just as a name rather than a title, I think is a bit presumptuous in itself as well.
I think it just depends on the person. I mean, I like going back to our levels of professionalism and things like that. You know, I have a certain level of respect for the older generation, for which I will call them sir and ma'am. As far as if they're under the age of 50, for example, then they're just mate, love, all that sort of thing. I personally don't mind. In fact, I'll even go as far to say I actually really enjoy pet names. Like if someone called me boy or cub or bubs or, you know, anything like that, I love it. I think it's so cute. So stop giving me that look, Cookie, you prick. Fist coming your way soon, and not the good kind.
No, the doctor said no more. Oh, not true. For a while.
An apple a day. But if I had some random say, how are you doing, mister? I would just take it as another tangent of mate. Like, I have a friend who calls me Tiger constantly. And I just think, oh my God, how very 80s of you.
Yes, because we all know that you're a sexy minx, not a tiger.
Well, but I think I'd be more freaked out if you said hello, minx. But anyway. But I think it's just one of those times, we're just at that stage where it might possibly be because it's a bare website and because Mikey is an older guy. I mean, he might be pursued by someone younger, and it might have to do with that whole role play name aspect. Or it could just be that's what he does to call everybody. Like my mate who calls everyone Tiger, he just could call everybody Mister.
Have you been called anything online, Cookie?
Other than slut.
Whore.
Slap up mole. Shall we go on?
Well, we're talking about online, not in the dungeon.
This is online.
Is this, like, messages not from Jack and myself? Is this for other people as well?
From a few other people, yes.
Oh, my God.
It's all right. I was expecting mostly to come from you two, though.
How rude, you can't do
thank
that.
Thank you, dear. That's such a wonderful thought.
Etiquette. The etiquette which we have asked previously on the Cubby House is...
rejection. Like, if somebody is interested in you, how do you go about saying, look, thanks but no thanks, kind of thing? Or even if they go so far to say, you keep on saying no, but they just will not take no for an answer. What should we do in a circumstance like that?
Well, we've had a few over the last couple of months, actually, between the three of us, haven't we?
Yes, I think it's always going to be...
I think we draw from those first, yeah.
It's always going to be a circumstance where, you know, we chat online, we go on Facebook, we have our own social lives. We're always going to run into people that we're just not interested in. And I think probably the best way for that is to tell them as soon as possible so that they realize exactly where they stand, that they don't get their hopes up, and to be genuine with it. For example, if you don't want to have anything to do with this person, just say, look, you know, thanks, but no thanks, you're not my type or something. Don't go, oh, look, you know, I'm not really looking for a relationship, but friends is okay. Because you're sort of giving the person false hope that, yes, you still want to see them when you're actually not interested.
Hypothetically, a person walks up to you in a bar, taps on your shoulder, and delivers an awful pickup line. For the sake of this hypothetical situation, he says, I might not be Fred Flintstone, but I can make your bed rock. You're not interested. Cookie, what do you say?
Where's my hammer?
Ryan?
First of all, I'd laugh at them.
Yes, probably same.
And then I'd be like, what, are you serious? And then I'd be like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
This is the etiquette portion of the podcast. So instead of doing what we probably could, we probably would do, or what we should do, etiquette, how to go about this awkward situation with tact, poise, and grace.
Yes. If somebody was to come up to me and use a really, really bad pun of a pickup line, I'd probably use just as bad a one back to kind of deflate them if I was being really narky. Otherwise, like Ryan, I'd either laugh as well as, but I'd probably say thanks but not interested in the nicest possible way of saying it, either being very subtle. If subtle didn't work, very firm. If firm didn't work, then outright rude.
And Ryan?
I think that with any sort of circumstance when it comes to rejection, the best thing to do is be upfront, honest, straight to the point, so that they don't get their hopes up. They understand exactly where they stand, because I think it's, you know, empathy plays a part of me. And if I was interested in someone, I'd want them to say straight away, look, you know, sorry, but I'm not interested. If somebody used a cheesy pickup line for hypothetical sake, then it would be exactly what I just said. I would laugh. I would ask if they were serious. It would really depend. I might sort of stick around and joke with them a bit, but they would know by the end of that night that it wasn't going to happen.
Even if they were to shove your hand down your pants?
That would be... well, if they're being friendly, then you'd be friendly back.
Yeah.
If they're being forceful, then I would be forceful back. It's one of those situations where you treat people as you'd want to be treated, but unfortunately, you have to treat people as they have treated you in that circumstance.
Now, the outlandish situation is, all right, you've been talking to somebody on the internet for a long time. You've gotten to know them fairly well. They're an interstater and they're coming over to try and catch up with you and try and probably pursue friendship, relationship, sexual partnership, whatever the case may be. They come over, you meet them, and you find out either your expectation of them or how they've described themselves has been somewhat different and you feel it's not going to go anywhere. What do you do then, considering they've come interstate to see you, maybe staying with you, and you're now stuck with them?
I think that in a circumstance like that, again, you would be upfront, honest with them. If it was a circumstance like that with me, I would probably take them out, you know, say, you know, what do you want to do while you're down here? We'll go out for tea, we'll go to the museums, we'll go to with the movies, we'll do some stuff, go out to the mall, all that sort of stuff, just to keep them busy so that when they go home, they don't think that they've had a really crappy time. Even if we didn't click, we didn't talk, there was no connection whatsoever, then I would probably ask my mates to come around and maybe they might possibly connect with him better than I would.
Share the love, basically.
Well, exactly. I mean, if it doesn't work with me, it could possibly work with somebody else. So I think that is personally what I would do in a circumstance where a hypothetical person, any listeners are in this situation, what they should do. I'm not saying that they should take them out or whatever, but I don't think that you should turn around and say after the first 10 minutes they've walked in the door, it's like, yeah, this isn't working out. Can you get yourself a hotel room or something? I think that's terribly rude. I think that they should, you know, just say, look, I'm really sorry, but I don't think this is going to be working. Is it okay if you slept on the couch? And just build up some sort of itinerary. What about yourself, Jack? What would you do?
Well, I would say that the best thing to do would be discreet about the situation, but also upfront. Start off with leaving subtle clues, kind of like a sleeping on the couch thing or whatever. And if it becomes necessary, sit down with them and say, look, mate, I think we've got different expectations of this particular relationship. And either you say that I'm interested in pursuing this relationship in a different way. It's a bit confronting to say that, no, I don't want to see your face ever again. But
okay, say if that was to be the situation that it got that bad that you couldn't stand being with them.
Then you make yourself scarce.
Make yourself
much.
Scarce? Would you, if you had to go to the extreme of they had to go into a hotel room, would it be rude for you to expect them to pay for it, or would you pay for it to get them out of the way?
Ooh, good point.
Cheap youth hostel.
Couldn't do that. I don't think that I would possibly ever come to the circumstance where I would say, look, would you mind going into a hotel? I think if it was something like, if they had come over and I had gone to work and I'd come back and there's a huge house party going on or a huge orgy in my room, then people would literally be dragged out by their hair. And then this guy, it would be like, okay, here's the internet. You now have an hour to find alternative accommodation. I'm going to call a taxi and book him to be in here an hour's time. You tell him where you need to go.
Blunt.
Well, it depends. Well, I wouldn't say, look, get out. If it was somebody that I just didn't connect with, then the couch is pretty much the best. That would be what I would do. But if they took advantage of your hospitality, then get the fuck out. Simple as that.
Fair, cool.
And Cookie, if you were in that situation?
Well, I've only recently moved out, so I've never had to think about these sorts of things. But having listened to you two, I'd probably, if it got to that extreme, I'd probably agree with you, Ryan.
Put them on the couch?
Well, put them on the couch. And if it got to that point where they were abusing your hospitality to that point, basically, yeah, there's the door.
Yeah.
Go sort yourself out.
Okay. What if somebody is hassling you online? They want to chat with you. They're, you know, you're just having a normal, quiet Sunday afternoon chatting on Bear WWW, and you keep getting messages from some guy that just will not leave you alone. He does not get the point. Jack, take it away.
Ooh, but I'm on my field of play here. I exist more in cyberspace than in meat space. Okay.
Meat space?
M-E-A-T. Meat space.
As in
one-on-one sort of?
As in
reality.
The real world.
Air, the space within air.
Yes.
Sort of. Okay, yep.
My space versus meat space. I'm picking up what Jack's putting down.
Cool.
And pretty much two situations. One, it's an internet random who's pestering you. You don't know them. They're possibly in Spain and they keep on doing it. In which case, a simple, I'm not interested, or a block. It's fast, it's easy, and it's no hassle, and you probably never have to worry about them ever again. Now, in a bit more of a trickier situation, and the same thing can apply if somebody is sending you messages while you're supposed to be working on something, is that either say, I am busy at the moment, I am working on something, or can you please leave me alone for a while? So I just want a bit of space for myself. Or alternately, you can just turn off Bear WWW or Bear 411 or Facebook chat or any of that. You're not bound to make response, unlike in a real life situation. in which case maybe leaving no response is perhaps better than not leaving a response can be better than putting your foot in your mouth.
What about yourself, Cookie? What would you do in that circumstance?
Yeah, I'd probably do the same as Jack. If you can't work on the premise, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it, and work on that point of view. Even after a couple of days, I've actually left messages in my inbox for a couple of days. If I still can't work anything out after a couple of days, I will delete it and not reply. If it's something that, you know, somebody who I'm not interested in, yeah, thanks a lot, and then they continue trying to continue a conversation, that's when I ignore it. If it's somebody that I know that I don't want to talk to right now, I'll stop and explain where I'm coming from in hopes that they understand and get the point. And if it's just somebody who still will not get the point after I've been blunt, explain the situation, that's when it comes time for the lovely block. Delete. Never want to hear from you again.
And Mr. Rhino?
I have to go on a bit of a rant before I get into this. And I hope you people are listening to this right now.
He's going to do a Darren Hinch on
bloody
us.
Bloody oath. Shame, shame. I hate people that when you send them a message and they're not interested, they just delete it. That fucking infuriates me. You have no idea how much I can't stand people that do that.
Because you've put in an effort to say what you want to say, and you want to at least know that it's acknowledged.
You've taken the time to read their profile. You've taken the time to send a message. And it's, I mean, fair enough, it's quite easy to send a message online, but you're letting your feelings be known. And I mean, even then, I mean, sometimes you're not looking for a fuck, sometimes you're not looking for a date. Sometimes you're just like, oh yeah, you've got a cool profile and just want to have a bit of a chat or whatever. Pretty much anybody who has ignored my messages, I have seen in real life, I ignore them in real life. If they're not going to take the time to acknowledge me in cyberspace, then why the hell should I acknowledge them? In reality, if it was a situation for me where I was not interested, I would pretty much leave the conversation as, well, I would just say, look, you know, thank you very much, I'm flattered, not interested, blah, blah, blah. If they continued the conversation, then it would be a one-sided conversation where they would be asking me questions and I would not share an interest because I've already advised them I don't have an interest. It's been very rare that I've actually had to block people, and even if I have, it's because they've gone to the extreme that they were abusive. And even then, I have not been abusive to them. It's just that they have been abusive to me. So if I block people, it's because that. But other than that, it's just, sorry, I'm not interested. And I really hope that if, you know, they would do the same thing. It's just one of those things. It's not that hard. I mean, people fear rejection, but it's not a big deal, seriously.
I suppose that leads on to the further chat topic as what should or should not be on a profile of that sort. But we'll save that for another day.
Absolutely.
That's all we have this week. Thank you very much for listening to The Cubby House, brought to you by Jack, Cookie and Ryan. If you'd like to get hold of us, you can check out our website, thecubbyhouse.net.au. You can email us through podcasts@thecubbyhouse.net.au, or you can call us on the Skype line, which is 9005-LAY. Catch you next week. Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.